Right, that was, or that is, the fabulous Tenek there with What Kind of Friend. Now, I'm joined in the studio by Peter Steer and Jeff Pickney, who are a fantastic electronica duo, as you can hear there, Tenek. Tenek are currently on our A-list. You heard What Kind of Friend. The guys are here to talk and play tracks from their brand new album, Smoke and Mirrors, which is their third album. The live album launches on Saturday the 28th at the Garage in London. Tour dates will be announced for 2016 shortly. So, morning, guys.
Good morning.
Oh, we sound so... That was even in tune.
That was good, wasn't it?
That was lovely.
Well rehearsed.
I thought you could do a little harmony or something then.
Maybe next time, eh?
Yeah. you put us on the spot.
Sorry. Now, we are joined as well by your management, so I have to say a very good morning to the beautiful Sherry.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thanks for having us. Well, you can do me a couple of voiceovers, actually, in
my
show.
Yeah. All right, I'm up for that.
We'll get that. Now, last time I saw you when you came in the studio, we were talking about Tenek versus The Last Cry, and you had all proceeds from that going towards the Sophie Lancaster Foundation. How did that go?
We did. We did very well, actually. And I think we raised over £1,000 for that.
Mm. Now, you guys originally got together in 2007 and you released a 4-track EP in the September, so you're very quick working. You then signed to Toffee Tones. Had you known each other before that?
Yeah, we'd known each other for years, hadn't we? The whole Gary Numan thing, we'd supported Gary Numan back in 91, 92. Mm. And we kind of crossed paths then, didn't we?
We did. Actually, yeah. First, I went to see one of the Gary Numan gigs at the... I think it was the Electric Ballroom. Hmm. And normally the support bands are pretty dire and you sort of think, oh, just stay at the
we
bar.
We didn't disappoint.
No, I really, really liked them. I thought they were really great. And I saw the keyboard player, Ian, and I said, you guys are really good. You know, we're doing a similar sort of thing. Maybe we should sort of do some gigs together. And on the next Gary Numan tour, both bands ended up sort of supporting Gary Numan and we all became really firm friends and sort of my band then split up after the Gary Numan tour because we kind of peaked and didn't know where to go after that and didn't capitalise on it. So I joined them.
Jump ship.
and you've been together ever since?
Well, you had a little bit of a hiatus, didn't you?
We've disappeared. Gone off and done all sorts of... I mean, I went off to be in an industrial techno band because I had to get that out of my system. Mm. And then I went off to... I've been in lots of various different bands over the years. I'm a bit of a have boots will travel sort of musician who likes to try different things, but this is the most settled band I've ever been in, and we, you know, I think it's we're a bit older now and we kind of we're just a really good team. We complement each other very well.
Yeah, well, we're doing it for a different reason now. We're doing it because that's what we want to do. We're not trying to be something else or whatever, you know. We did try the whole dance music thing a while back and you know, failed dismally, so we thought, well, tell you what, let's just do something that we enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, do our own brand of music.
From 2007, you've more or less been gigging and releasing material. So let's talk about some of the stuff that you started. We were talking about the EP from 2007. So what, because you've been releasing stuff basically more or less all the time.
Yeah, well, apart from the huge break between On The Wire back in 2010 and now. But yeah, we've had a steady flow of singles and the first album was Stateless and then there was On The Wire in 2010.
We actually did ourselves a disservice by being incredibly prolific early on in our career by doing 2 albums in 18 months, which is unheard of, and then 5 years between the second and the third. Mm. And this has proved to be a difficult album. It has. They talk about the difficult third album, but you just have no idea how difficult it is.
But you haven't, in a way, you've not gone away. You've still been touring.
We've always
been
around. We've never taken
stuff.
A break.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, still been active.
Mm-hmm. You make sound like a pensioner when you say it like that. I'm still active. I've got my gripper. Hold on, let me pick up the tissues.
I still manage to get up in the morning.
I can still get to my keyboards, you know.
Now, we're going to play a track from the brand new album, Smoke and Mirrors, and we're going to play Blue Man. So tell us a little bit about how did you get to write this? Why are you looking at me like that for?
Oh,
what's wrong, Jeff?
We love these sort of questions.
It's a bad question.
I'm going to answer this one genuinely, honestly, and I'm going to say that this song was written because we had a little iPad app called Impacta, and you put it next to the table and you tap on the table and it reacts to what you're tapping on the table and it makes all these incredible noises.
Oh, wow.
And we made this fantastic loop sound and it sounded like... Have you ever seen the Blue Man Group, the American dance troupe?
Yes, tubes.
Well, we made this thing and it sounded really like that. And then we built this fantastic chord sequence around that and we never could decide what to call it. So I said, that sounds like the Blue Man Group, let's just call
it
Blue Man.
It was just a working title that stuck, basically.
Yeah. Because we loved the title so much, it was not our sort of title, Blue Man. It's sort of suggested other things and not the sort of thing that we're about. So we then started to build Blue Man into the lyrics, and it became sort of a mythical figure, the Blue Man. And it's funny how songs start off.
Since 2012, I think.
As long as that.
Up with you guys, yeah.
Oh my God.
And you know everything about them, so we could do
a
quiz or something.
Even more.
It's not a quiz. Here. Sorry, you're looking at me going, "She's got a quiz in her
hand." Oh no,
it hasn't. I'm not.
You're surprised.
The wrong people. We've been
emailing back and forth while you guys didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. There's things that are going to come out now. Moving on. Now you play gigs all over Europe, and you supported some really high-profile acts. So tell us about some of the guys you've been working with.
Who have we supported?
Human
Republica,
League. Mm.
Human League, Heaven 17, Blancmange, lot of 80s electronic
bands.
Flock
of Seagulls.
Mm-hmm. Flock of Seagulls, well,
yeah.
Toya. Oh, yes, we supported Toya in Essex not so long ago at the Sandstock Festival, and she got us up on stage to dance with her,
we danced
which
with Toya,
horrifying.
And that's a dream come true for me.
Yeah.
She's lovely.
Anyone film that?
I've seen it.
Because I want a copy of it, please.
We look like dancing gnomes on acid, though, unfortunately.
Yeah.
If ever there was such a thing. Moving swiftly on. What's been the best gig that you've ever done?
I think it would be one of the last two gigs, either Under the Bridge or Baz 2015, because introducing Steve Clark, the drummer, has taken the live show to a new level. We both enjoy it so much more, having a drummer there.
Yeah.
More energy on the stage. And
energy.
Just
and
brings it to life, really.
Smoke and Mirrors is taking you in a new musical direction. So how does it differ?
I think it's got more depth now. And that was kind of that was an idea from the start, really. This album needed to be a level above what we'd done before. You know, we're pleased with what we'd done before, but this had to be something quite exceptional given the time span as well between albums. But that aside, that was a conscious thing to do, epic sounding. You know, that was where we were going with it. So it's got a lot more depth, and with Steve's inclusion, because he actually came in the studio and we recorded his drumming, mm-hmm. and that just transformed the tracks for us, gave him a whole new, you know, lease of life. Smoking
now, we've got Paul Jackson, who's a bass player, who's formerly with T'Pau.
Yeah.
You've got Australian bass Sam Morris, and you've got Steve Clark as well, drums and vocals.
We have.
How many other bands? You said you've got more bands. Is it more bands?
The live band is Jeff and myself.
Yeah.
And we've got a new bass player called Patrick Bennett, who didn't play on the album.
Yeah.
And we've got Steve Clark, the new drummer. And those two guys have played together in other bands, so it was a natural decision to keep them together as a rhythm section. They're brilliant together, and they just like slotted in perfectly into the jigsaw. We had originally planned to use a guy called Sam Morrison from Australia, but his visa ran out and he had to go home.
Oh. Well, I called him Sam Morris anyway, so
that's all right.
Half his name, so just scrub it off the screen now. Really.
Oh, okay.
Is he coming back?
He's coming back at Christmas, actually.
Okay.
And
yeah, steady on there.
We'll cut this bit out.
He did actually play on one of the tracks of the album. He played on Imitation of Life, which is potentially the next single, though that's yet to be decided, but it's been quite a popular song. So, we've used a lot of different musicians. Paul Jackson from T'Pau was absolutely amazing.
Yep.
And he offered his services to us. I think it came through Sherry, Paul Jackson.
Yeah.
And, you know, we thought, T'Pau's bass player's not going to like what we do. And he said, you know, I love that style of music. And so we sent him the track, and he played the bass line on it, and then he sent it to us, probably thinking, I hope they listen to it. And we just forgot to listen to it for a week. We was all busy doing other things. And I said, We should have a listen to that. And when we played it, it was just a jaw-dropping moment of, oh my, this is world-class bass.
We actually just had the drums running, and we were just listening to the drums and the bass, and we were just listening to his bass playing. It was
about 4 hours.
We just sat there, it was absolutely brilliant, yeah.
Now, we're going to move on to the next song called Sunlight. What's this song about? Besides sunlight? Or is it? Or it could actually be about something completely different. Is it about a ceiling tile, he was saying?
A ceiling tile? No, the ceiling tile that I destroyed at Creative Sessions.
Yeah, you're in the Brentwood Centre. You're getting so excited on stage, you punched a hole through the ceiling.
I know, I do.
It does happen from time to time.
Yeah, we did get
not
quite
to me,
excitable.
I thought one. Sorry.
Sunlight. I'll let you explain this one, Jeff.
It's kind of a positive vibe, because we like to sort of... some of the songs sound initially sort of a bit negative, you know, maybe. But then there's always a positive message in there. And this is one of those tracks that's probably
uplifting.
A bit more uplifting, a bit more obvious, you know. So if you listen to the lyrics, you can read whatever you want from it.
But who writes the lyrics? Do you
both sit there and agonise over them for months.
Yeah.
And they get constantly changed.
Yep.
And we actually refer to it as trying to pull a pebble out of your ear with tweezers, because it just feels like but when we've done it and we sit back and we look at the lyrics and they're great, it's fantastic, but the process is writing music, absolutely.
Yeah, you've got to live with them, haven't you?
So writing music is a piece of cake. It's lyrics and vocal melodies. That's the real tough bit at the top line,
because
that's what the song stands or falls by, the melody. So that's
the
hard for us.
Yeah.
So we agonise over that.
More